lessons today and broaden that out a little bit further. Can't escape the truth and the importance of the resurrection, but the whole idea of truth in itself will be on display here as we go through the sermon. The title of the sermon today is Standing Fast in a World of Fake News. And I want to begin with our New Testament lesson from 2 Thessalonians, where St. Paul writes to those who are in Thessalonica, and they are subjects of tremendous fake news coming their way. They were not only persecuted and afflicted, but they were the victim, so to speak, of people going around and saying things like, you know, the day of the Lord has come and you guys missed it. You've been left behind. The resurrection's past. And that was all what we would call fake news. It was not accurate. And so here in this passage, he says to them, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace. And certainly, Father, this day we don't want to miss the emphasis on the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection. Lord, the resurrection that we trust in, that is rooted and based on your truthfulness and your faithfulness and your veracity. Father, we will look in vain around us for voices not sourced in you that will speak of such. But Father, there's an abundance of voices that will speak against that. And will speak against every truth that you utter. Father, help us today to be those. As we are the recipients of fake news all around, in a political sphere, in a religious sphere, help us to be able to stand fast as the examples that we cited here in our readings this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Fake news is not only a recent or a modern phenomenon. Kind of come into vogue, that terminology, fake news. We think it never happened in the past or that there's a superabundance of it today. It's not new, not recent, not just modern, and it's certainly not a mere political problem. We tend to think of it, oh, that's just about politics. Wherever else in the world, you know, news is news and truth is truth, and we get it. It is a problem now, I'll grant that. It's happening in modern times. And it is a problem there, meaning in politics. It is now and it is there for sure. But it's not only now and it's not only there. Fake news is traceable all the way back to the very, very, very beginning. It impacts life and death matters. It impacts the matters not just of politics, but of faith. Back in Genesis, in chapter 3, we read about the serpent in the garden. It says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree that is found in the garden. Fake news is there, and it begins by simply undermining and casting doubt on the veracity and the truthfulness of what God had told them to do. It was soon upgraded. It got worse. It wasn't just casting doubt. It wasn't just undermining. It was soon upgrading to a direct and a full and a contradiction and a falsehood in verse 4. The serpent goes on to say, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Adam and Eve did not stand fast against this fake news. And without Jesus Christ, neither will we. They did not stand fast. They fell for the fake news in their day, and they fell. All over the New Testament, we are called to be those who stand, and stand fast, and hold the tradition. And when we talk about traditions, we're going to talk about the teachings and the practices that Paul had given to us by his word and in his epistles. The devil, the serpent represented here in Genesis, is the father of lies. We've learned about that in John chapter 8 and verse 44. As Jesus is speaking to those of his day, you are of your father the devil, the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, he abode in truth, because there's no truth in him. He, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, he is the father of it. Alright, the devil will lie, we see that in Genesis. Fake news has been around from the beginning, but is it limited to just the devil? And Brother Eagle was asking me just minutes ago, does the devil kind of try to influence us? Of course he does. But he's not alone because he's not the only liar. Fallen mankind is populated by those who are incapable of speaking the truth. In Romans in chapter 3, and we read in verse 4 it is, but let God be true and every man a liar. That's how St. Paul views us, that we're just so marred. Our depravity is so great that we are liars. In verse 13 of that very same passage, he says this. He says, their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues they have used for deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. And all over the Bible, we read about falsehood. We read about flatteries. All of it fake. And so ours, therefore, is a world that is filled with fake news. No surprise there. I hope that's not a surprise to you. But you need to have your antenna up. And yet we are called to be those who stand fast in the midst of it. You know, I think it's easy to read the Bible and have all these kind of like cliches that say stand fast in the faith. And somehow we think that that standing fast, it takes place in a vacuum. That somehow those who are standing fast are simply those who somehow have insulated and isolated themselves, who try to live their life as if they're in a hermetically sealed test tube so that nothing touches them. And yet, all of our readings today, and if your life is like mine, and if your life is like the life that Jesus wants you to live, you will not be in a hermetically sealed test tube. You will not be. There are those to the monastery, but that's not the bulk of us, right? You'll not be there, but you'll be out there, and you'll be exposed constantly to fake news. We're called to stand fast. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. We are to stand fast even in a world that's filled with fake news. I wonder if you noticed this as we went through our lectionary readings, because each one of them involved fake news. Each one of them involved the protagonist in the narrative as being someone who stands against these antagonists who are spouting fake news. Every one of them. And it's all in this context. I guess I want to begin and have you think about this during the course of this sermon here is, in your own life, will you and do you recognize some of the fake news that comes your way? The fake news, hopefully, that you are not spewing, but that you are the recipient of. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in the classroom at the university. Maybe it's in your home. Of course, maybe it's on the newspaper, in the newspapers and on the news. Do you recognize it? And are you able to stand against it? And again, fake news, it doesn't come out with an advertisement that says, listen, this is fake news. The serpent was more subtle than any of the creatures in the garden. Fake news is likewise always going to be subtle. It will often emerge from sources that seem very, very credible, very, very welcoming, in some cases very highly esteemed, in some other cases someone who is very, very near and dear unto you. In our gospel lesson, the leaders who were addressing Jesus were the big boys in the culture. Highly respected. Aristocrats. Power brokers for sure, but people that were looked up to. They were the elites. They were the ruling class. They were the religious experts. They were the ones who knew better. They were the ones who knew more than you and I, us mere mortals. That's the setting of the gospel lesson. They were the Sadducees. In our Old Testament lesson, Job, we heard his great testimony where he stood fast against the fake news. But where was the fake news coming from? The fake news was coming from his friends who were trying to condemn him. His friends who were trying to tell him, you know, there's no hope for you. Resurrection, are you kidding me? You're not even going to be able to make it through this life. It was his friends. As a matter of fact, in the book of Job, it was also his wife. Talk about somebody near and dear to you who's feeding you with fake news that you need to stand fast against. Thirdly, in our New Testament lesson, we saw from St. Paul here in Thessalonians that there were those who were imposters, false brethren. And as a matter of fact, there was this one guy who was going around, and the report is that he was writing a letter that he tried to make it sound like he himself was Paul. It was fake news that the day of the Lord had already passed, that you've been left behind. Resurrection is past. But then fourthly, I guess I want to say this, and perhaps all of these, you know, whether it's leaders, whether it's friends, whether it's imposters, perhaps all of these might be summed up in a fourth term. And the fourth term is naysayers. Naysayers in the culture. Now, we can think of them as naysayers in the political realm, but there are naysayers in the church, sadly. But they're there. In our alternate Old Testament lesson, you didn't have this read for you, but in the book of Haggai in chapter 2 and verse 3, there's this story where they are rebuilding the temple. I mean, they've been in exile for many, many years. They come back and they're rebuilding this temple. And this temple, the foundation was laid here. And there were some of these folks, and most of the time it was the folks who were on the older side of things. It says that they were comparing the size of this temple with the glory and the magnificent size of Solomon's temple. And they were comparing that. And they were naysayers about the work. If you look at the passage in Ezra, which is a parallel passage, these same guys were going around and they were crying. How can it be? This can't represent us. I mean, we're far more glorious than this. Why do we have to have this small, dinky little temple? We used to have the magnificence of Solomon. So they're naysayers against the work. They're just not a positive influence. And Haggai has to stand fast against them. They may be crying, they may be bellyaching, they may be naysayers, discouraging the brethren, and the Bible's filled with that. But Haggai reminds them all that they all need to stand firm against those naysayers. And we need to stand firm against them with the Word of God. So look at verse 9 of the same chapter. He ends up saying, look, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. He invokes God. And what God thinks about this dinky little temple. And God says that this dinky little temple is going to have a greater glory than Solomon's temple had. He invokes God. And he stands fast against the naysayers. He stands fast against fake news. Fake news says this. Oh, this work is less glorious. But standing fast says, no, no, no. By faith, I'm going to believe God that this is more glorious, this work that God has called us to do. You see, fake news can always find some dimension. And in this case, it's square footage. The foundation had been laid. Fake news can always find some dimension of a matter, putting that as paramount. Oh, square footage is less. It must be a whole lot less glorious. It must be a whole lot more insignificant. Fake news can always find some dimension of a matter, putting that forth as paramount, and thereby missing the entire message. Happens all the time. Naysayers are a common source of fake news. When I was thinking about this, if my mind kind of went back into a political realm of a generation or so ago. In the political realm, back in 1970, then Vice President Spiro Agnew, a very inarticulate person, and everybody knows that he didn't write this speech. As a matter of fact, this speech was written for him by William Sapphire, who was a prolific writer. But Agnew called him, he ended up saying that there are, in these days in the United States, we have more than our share of nattering nabobs of negativism. And everybody just, that's his most famous quote and quip of all time. Nattering nabobs of negativism. I got news for you, we still have that. We still have them in the political realm, and we still have them in the church and in our lives. Maybe you're married to one. Maybe your boss is one. Maybe you're the boss that is one. Maybe it's somebody else in the church. They're back, both in and out of the church, and so we need to conduct our lives standing fast against that. Now, let's again go back to our gospel lesson here. The good news is that the Bible opens this story here in this gospel lesson, and Jesus stands fast against the fake news. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 27, we see that the Sadducees were there. Then came to him certain Sadducees, and these were the naysayers, right? We've all heard of Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection. But it says that they had basically this advertisement on their forehead and countenance that says, who deny there is any resurrection. Their fake news came by way of ridicule in this story. I had this gospel lesson read for you here. This story that they give about resurrection, remember with the seven sons, and you know, they got down through all, they didn't even believe there would be a resurrection, and so their own hypocrisy is exposed. They're trying to ridicule Jesus and anyone who would believe in the resurrection, but their own hypocrisy is exposed because they didn't believe. They're telling this story that they themselves was inconsistent and preposterous with their own thinking in verse 33. They didn't believe in the resurrection. When they asked, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Again, their opposition here, their fake news comes by way of ridicule. And ridicule is a common weapon of elites. Are you ready for ridicule in your life? Are you ready for ridicule in your life as a Christian? The ridicule may come from a political corner. It may come from society at large, as we are increasingly a secular and non-Christian. And again, the only evidence we have for resurrection is all about this book and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, we have no historical, no scientific evidence or testimony towards resurrection. Or are you going to believe the fake news that says, there's not a resurrection? Are you ready for ridicule? Can you stand fast against it? There's only one way you will stand fast against it, by holding forth to the Word. And Jesus does that very thing. In the face of that ridicule, Jesus stands against them with the word. Verses 37 and 38 of that same passage there. He came to them, 37 and 38. Do I have that on there, Kristen?
It's not working.
It's not working. Did it stop working altogether?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus says this, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed us at the bush when he called the Lord God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, for he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. You know, there's a fuller account of this in Mark. Is it working yet before I turn around again?
Yep.
It is?
Yep.
In Mark 12 and verse 24, Jesus ends up saying this. And you know what? This is a really just a great verse for us to understand. Verse 24, do you not therefore err? In Mark, it's more precise. I mean, Matthew, he says, you err, not knowing the scripture. What a great line that is to live by. Thinking about that. You err not knowing the scriptures. By definition, if you don't know this book, you're in error. But he ends up saying to them here, we're still in Mark in chapter 12 and verse 24, do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? You're never going to believe in a resurrection, the power of God to do something like that. If you don't know the scriptures, you're going to be in error. You're not going to be able to stand. Just like in Haiti, Isaiah, there's no way that without the word of God they could ever believe that this dainty little temple could possibly have more glory than Solomon's temple. But God said it has more glory, and then it will have more glory. You err not knowing the scriptures. And so a sidebar of this sermon is, let's make sure we know the scriptures. And this alone is how we will stand against fake news. Those of you who have been around here know that I'm very fond of Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We have a world. Talk about a world of fake news. We have a world of elites and leadership in our land. And they view themselves as the most enlightened people that ever lived. Certainly the most enlightened people who are on the face of the earth now. And according to the Bible, it says, if they're not speaking according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Talk about the new dark ages. It's the world that we live in. They speak not according to this word. It is because there is no light in them. Going back to Mark in chapter 12, we could look again at verse 25. Don't miss this. Jesus says, for when they shall rise from the dead. When? Not if. When they rise. Jesus was standing. So stand fast against fake news, stand fast against naysayers, stand fast against Sadducees and Pharisees and leaders and experts. But how about friends? Remember poor Job? Job really had a tough. Look at Job in chapter 16 in verses 1 and 2. Miserable comforters are you all. These guys were just no help to him. They're miserable comforters, are all of you guys. They were at their best when they kept their mouths shut. We see that in chapter 2 and verse 13. They sat down with him upon the ground 7 days. They didn't speak a word unto him. They just saw that, you know what? We're going to be here for you. Zip it. They're at their best then. But as soon as they opened their mouth, it was all fake news. You must have done this. You must have done that. You must be unrighteous. There's no way that you're going to rise from the dead because, you know, God's not even blessing you now. How can you possibly be a righteous person? Near and dear unto them. Look at 19 and 1 and 2. This is more about his friends here. Job answered and he said, how long are you guys going to vex my soul? You're breaking me. You're killing me. Your fake news is killing me. Look at in the same chapter here, verses 21 and 22. Have pity on me. Have pity upon me, O my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. But why are you persecuting me as God? And you're not even satisfied with my flesh. You're trying to destroy my spirit by giving me no hope. You all know that Job also had to endure the advice of his wife. Chapter 1 and verse 9. Remember that. Satan entered into the Lord and says, does Job fear God for naught? I must have the wrong verse there. So that's going to be, let me tell you what it says. Job's wife comes to him and says, why are you keeping your integrity? Curse God and die. That's her advice. Curse God and die. You know, you can look on the national news these days and you can see that. People are up for trial because they're whispering in someone's ear, trying to get someone to commit suicide, encouraging that, right? There's a couple of stories where these women are encouraging these frail young men to go commit suicide. They're being convicted of that. Job's wife did the very same thing. Go die! The fake news with regard to Job is that they were all his wife and his friends, they were all wrong about him. We learn that in chapter 42 and verse 7. Hopefully this is all right. But all through the trial, all through the middle of Job's tribulation, during all of that, during all of their fake news, remember what Job said, 19, 25, and 26. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job had a defense. Job was able to stand fast against fake news, naysayers, leaders, friends. We'll begin to close out where we began. Imposters. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, stand fast. This is one of these verses where if we're not careful reading our Bible, we just see that standing fast that somehow, you know, happens in a vacuum. This was real. This was not a vacuum. The context was persecution and affliction. Chapter 1 and verses 4, he's talking about that very thing. Affliction and persecution. You guys are in the middle of all of that. More specifically, in chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3, he says, you know, I know that you guys are, please don't be easily rocked, troubled, shaken by all this fake news that's going on around you. Imposters they were. Some were posing as fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. And in particular, as Paul himself, where it says there in verse 2, it says that, nor by letter, as from us. Sounds like an anonymous whistleblower or something like that. In the Christian realm, right? Somebody who has credibility, street cred, so to speak. But stand fast. Stand fast. The battle for truth against fake news is a real one. And so he says, hold on to the tradition. That is the teaching and the practices that come from the Word. That's what verse 15 is all about. Tradition is not this thing that's somehow detached from the Word of God. It's teaching and it is practices that Paul himself administered and taught. As we close down, I want us to know one other thing. And this is important, particularly in our culture. Nowhere in view today, in all of this standing fast in a world that's filled with fake news, nowhere are we hearing, just trust your gut. Did you hear that in any of this? When Jesus was dealing with the Sadducees, just trust your gut. Did you hear that But Job, just trust your gut. He was trusting in the promises of God. Noah. Haggai was saying, he wasn't looking at this dinky little temple and saying, well, we'll trust our gut here that this is going to be glorious and it's going to be good with God. No, they all went back to the word. Nowhere are we hearing trust your gut. Furthermore, nowhere are we hearing believe in yourself. Two other common choruses we hear in our culture. Trust your gut and believe in yourself. Far from it. Rather, what we've heard is likened unto what we read in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's more like abandon yourself. Trust in him and trust in his word. His word is true. John 17:17. Hope I got that one right. Sanctify them through the truth. Your word is the truth. Look at that verse and then go back to that earlier verse that where Jesus is talking to the Sadducees and he says, you err, not knowing the scripture. It's like a default. You're automatically wrong. You're automatically going to fall. You're automatically going to fail if you don't know the scriptures, because you will have no defense against the subtlety of the enemy or the other sources of fake news. You'll be no different than Adam and Eve, who failed and fell. Know the word. His word is true. And then claim your possession. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Says we look to him because given to us in him is everlasting consolation and good hope that will carry us through towards every good word and work. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Father God, please help us. Lord, we live in a world of faith. On many levels, always have and always will. And yet, Father, we would ask the power to respond as we heard here today to stand fast. Pray that we make it so in our lives. Lord, in those mundane little things of everyday life, and in those matters where it is of the most urgent importance. Lord, thank you for these four testimonies here of those who have stood fast. Thank you that they are our brothers and our sisters.